Final word now on our discussion on California's high-speed rail project with Adam Summers, policy analyst with the Reason Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You've written, Mr. Summers, that the rail project was, quote, sold to the public based on false promises, exaggerated benefits, and lowball cost estimates. Mm-hmm. And yet the federal government is saying this goes forward next year, or California loses a lot of money toward the project.
Right. Yeah, the federal government had put a couple billion dollars into the project. The strings that were attached with that said that they had to start, and they had to start building in the Central Valley, which really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, since there's no way that line would be viable on its own. There's a 65-mile stretch kind of out in the middle of nowhere up in the Corcoran area.
The proponents say, though I-5 started in the Central Valley, our interstate highway system started in the middle of the United States, that it will link up eventually, but that the Central Valley is the easiest place to lay rail that can actually support speeds of over 200 miles an hour.
Well, I think the thinking was to start it in the Central Valley, since they figured that was where there was going to be the least public opposition to it. Up in the Bay Area, there have been all sorts of objections to the project, and they're concerned about eminent domain, they're concerned about noise and vibration, they're concerned about some designs that would involve building the tracks up on these 20-foot berms that would literally divide some towns in half, and in fact they've described them as Berlin walls. Down here in the LA, San Diego, Orange County areas, there's been concern about eminent domain taking hundreds if not thousands of private businesses and private homes to build the track, and they're still trying to figure out exactly how the track would be designed down here, too.
But it has to be the overarching theme here that in 2008, voters approved the measure to put a bullet train through California. It's the will of the voters.
Well, the problem is that the voters were misled from the beginning. A lot of the assumptions that the project's based on were just completely faulty and pie in the sky. Back in 2008, a couple months before the election, Reason Foundation released a report that we'd commissioned from a couple of rail experts. And they looked at all the assumptions from the High-Speed Rail Authority's plan and concluded that there was no way it was going to work, just because the cost estimates were way too low. They were around the $40-45 billion range. They conservatively estimated that the actual cost would be somewhere in the $65-81 billion range. And then the ridership numbers were another main thing. They've been estimating ridership numbers as high as 117 million people a year. Now, just to put that in perspective, if you look at the entire Amtrak system across the country, Amtrak operates in 46 states. It's 21,000 miles of track and over 500 destinations. That accounts for only 27 million people a year. And even if you look at the high-speed segment that runs between New York and Boston and Washington, D.C., that high-speed Acela system, which runs up to 150 miles an hour, only carries about 3 million people a year. And so that's a larger and more denser market than California, and we're expected to believe that 100 million or more people are going to ride it. It doesn't cut it.
Well, does that figure, though, reflect on the assumption that eventually it would pay for itself? And isn't it true, though, that fare box recovery is never 100% in any public system?
Right, that's true. And in fact, the High-Speed Rail Authority's business plan, such as it is assuming that there's going to be some sort of subsidy to private operators. Problem with that is that's illegal because the bond measure that the voters passed specifically prohibits any kind of public subsidy. Now, the Legislative Analyst Office has pointed this out about a year and a half ago, and the Rail Authority still hasn't explained how they're going to get around that.
The Reason Foundation is a conservative group. It's a think tank representing libertarian views. And in the libertarian view, nothing like this should ever be funded by the government. Isn't that true?
Right. If there's truly a market for a high-speed rail network, then by all means, if some private company or a consortium of private groups wants to risk their own capital and they see a market demand and a need there and they want to put that they want to risk their own money to try to make that happen, then by all means, they should be allowed to have that happen. If there's some sort of government red tape that's preventing that from happening, then the government should eliminate that and let it be built. But the fact is, Bill Lockyer, the state treasurer, has stated that there's absolutely no appetite for this kind of project on Wall Street. because
that would be if he were to sell the bonds to private investors.
Right. And so there really hasn't been any interest in the private sector because they just don't see any way to make it work, especially in the way that it's constructed now.
What finally is the Reason Foundation going to be doing about this as far as just keeping an eye on the project? I mean, it goes forward.
Right. Well, we were kind of the first ones to kind of point out some of the problems with the project, but we certainly haven't been the last. I think our role is kind of continuing to educate the public, because the more people find out about this, the more upset they get about it. We really have to take control of our priorities. And when we have $20 billion budget deficits every year, are we really going to try to sink more and more money into a fancy high-speed rail project that we can't afford?
All right. Final word then to you, Adam Summers, who is a policy analyst with the Reason Foundation. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. My pleasure. All right.